Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
To count the discounts, save driver, paperless, automatic payments, multi-car, so many, a penny. Saved is a penny earned, you learn. The money you saved, it builds like a wave of dollar bills. The thrills, scary movies give me chills.
Discounts that help you save more for the things you want. From Progressive, visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey everybody, Pat Buck here, and thank you for 10 weeks of great support with Conversation with the Big Guy. I don't think we thought it would be that much of a, I don't want to say a hit, but people actually care and are listening. It's nice to know that. Thank you for your support. Happy Halloween, guys. And because there's big things with this podcast, we want to be involved with pretty big companies. So what I'd like you guys to do, and I think it's a pretty great deal, and I'm really happy with them. Me and the Big Guy love this company. It's BlueApron.com. What it is, it's food basically delivered, all the ingredients delivered right to your home. You can cook it at home for less than $10 per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles or wild-caught Alaskan salmon or heirloom tomatoes, I never had that before today, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. They're flexible. They customize your recipes based on your preferences. Choose delivery options to fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepped in 40 minutes or less. I like this. I'm lazy. I don't want to go to the store. I want good food. As I get older and older, I'm not settling for garbage, and Blue Apron is pretty solid. And here's a special deal. Check out this week's menu. And because you like this show, well, I hope you like this show, you get three free meals with free shipping just by going to blueapron.com/bigguy. You will love how good it feels, it tastes, to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so please don't wait. What do you have to lose? Three free meals with free shipping. Just go to the website. That's blueapron.com/bigguy. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Enjoy the show.
Feed me more.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy. I am the Big Guy Ryback, and I'm sitting here with the one, Pat Buck.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition. Thank you for listening. You can rank, review, subscribe, do all that jazz on iTunes or on Audio Boom. Who we're now with, our little motherboard platform. Or you can just retweet about it, tell a friend, do whatever you got to do to help help spread the word about this this little podcast that we do every week. You know, we appreciate you guys listening. And you could also check out RussellProOnline.com because I'm a carny indie promoter in the Northeast area. As well as if you want to be a wrestler, I can train you at CreatorProWrestling.com.
You're one of the best wrestling trainers, I've said from day one. You're a hell of a worker, but it takes a special person to be able to teach somebody. So,
well, thank you.
Which you don't always see. There's a lot of WWE Hall of Famers and legends and, you know, they don't partake that route because it's not necessarily an easy thing to have the patience for, and you've always been very good with that.
I think there's an art to being a coach. Absolutely. I mean, I think my two best coaches I ever had would be Rip Rogers and Dr. Tom.
Yeah, who I know. Dr. Tom, I love Dr. Tom.
Who, it's an absolute sin that he doesn't have a full-time coaching position in any company.
Yeah, you know, which, you know, he was in FCW there and in running developmental, and he was the guy that, for me, he just let me be me and have fun, and he didn't put restrictions on me, and that helped me more than anything. And just his approach to training daily, and he knew when to turn it on, have guys turn it on, and he knew when guys needed to have a mental day, and like he knew how hard it was being in developmental, and going through that struggle. He was able to relate to all the different talents exceptionally well, I felt. And he was well-respected amongst no one ever had a bad thing to say about him.
No, and I think he also knew how to juggle
The Office.
I think he also knew how to kind of juggle the politics, too, that came from his higher-ups, and that's what he was good at, too. He could relate to people. He was... I wish I actually talked to him more. I love Dr. Tom.
Completely we will text. Tom I haven't texted him in a while since I've left WWE. And I need to shoot him a message. He came backstage at one of the shows, actually. I forget where if we were in Knoxville.
Probably. I think that's where he lives.
Yeah. And I don't think he ended up coming backstage that day. And you know how you can just tell if somebody is well-liked? We were in the catering, and there's a group of, like, 12, 15 guys, all the guys just standing around, and like we're just all in awe just standing there, like, because it was surreal because we hadn't seen him in so long, and we were with him when we were just, you know, young and hungry trying to make it and just living week to week, and like, and all the other producers coming in, and just everyone gravitated towards him, and I'm like, God damn it, like, if that doesn't tell you right there
how valuable he is,
like, this guy gets it. And he's able to, and he's well liked in an industry where fucking people hate each other, and like, and he produced some of the greatest talents out of FCW, and
completely, and beforehand too. I mean, he was always in the game, and like knew how to tell you, like, he wouldn't bullshit you. He'd tell you straight up,
absolutely,
but in a way where it wasn't like, oh fuck, like I'm gonna go
shoot myself.
Exactly.
Yeah. He knew how to talk to people, and he had compassion, and he was able to motivate you, and he was able to get the best out of each performer, and he knew what you brought to the table, and he played up to your strengths, and he stayed away from your weaknesses, but at the same time, he would help you address your weaknesses without you feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate, and then hopefully one day people pull their heads out of their asses and realize that he belongs.
Sure. You know? I know he's got a couple overseas things coming up because I follow him on the old Twitter, and... He's a good dude. I'll never forget what he did to me at FCW at one of the last tryouts I did, which is ironic because it was me and Tony Nese, who did not get hired, and now he's killing it on Raw, who's a great cruiserweight.
Yeah. Is that the Trent Beretta look?
Yes.
Yeah.
His old partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Tom pulled me in the office because they only hired one guy. They hired Tyler Breeze from the last tryout I went to, which was like 2011, I think, or 2010. And he goes, sit in the office, sit down here right now. Let's see what happens. He's like, don't say a word. He called the office on speakerphone. And he's like, can we please hire Pat Buck? I don't know why we're not hiring him. We have guys in the system that can't compare to him. Let's give him 6 months. Let's see what happens.
And yeah.
It was Ty Bailey, actually, on the other end. Who was like, he's like, oh, I believe in him, but it's John, and John doesn't see anything, and maybe we can review stuff. And Tom fought for me on speakerphone while I sat in the office because I was pissed off I didn't get hired.
Which, by the way, how many people would actually go out of their way to do that for you, to show you? You know what I mean? And that was a very real moment, a real thing, and that is Dr. Tom right there in a nutshell.
Fucking, I'll never forget that.
If you have a chance to do a seminar with him or to pick his brain, do it, because it will be well worth your time.
So we're here right now. We're here in Rahway, New Jersey, and I think we're approaching the my favorite time of year. My favorite holiday is actually Halloween.
Is it really?
Yeah, completely. And I've always been
a big Thanksgiving mark.
Really?
I love Thanksgiving. I have fond memories of just overeating and then just passing out and like
eating again.
Eating again and just eating and eating and eating. Yeah.
I mean, I like Christmas, but I feel like everyone likes Christmas. But Halloween, I just love.
Well, there's only so many fucking holidays, Pat. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, there's.
We do have a lot. I mean, yeah.
I go between Halloween and St. Patrick's Day for my kin and my people. But
because you are of Irish descent, correct?
I'm a born ginger. I mean,
would you know your percentages or?
Yeah, I'm like, I never had that like blood work. You had that done. That
I had the ancestry.com. I went and had
DNA testing.
My DNA testing, where they send you a saliva test kit and you do it, and it costs like I think $130-$150, something like that. And my mom had always like. Kind of explain, you know, my ethnicity, but I wanted to know, like, if you can get a chance to get your percentages and just to say how accurate it is, but it's more accurate than probably anything else you're going to get. And I found out that I was 70% English,
English.
Yeah. I'm of English descent. 70%.
Fuck? I never knew that.
Yeah. All those UK, that UK tour coming up. The big guy's fucking one of you guys. We're going to
fucking shit.
Yeah. 10% Irish and then 7% Italian and 7%, I believe, Western European. And then I think there's like 1 or 2% Jew in there.
Really?
Yeah. But, wow.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It was good. My mom is adamant that there is a percentage of Indian in us also, which I've heard Ancestry somehow misses that.
Okay.
Poor Indians always getting, you know, left out. But
I didn't know about the, I mean, I'm like 75% Irish and like a quarter British, but, yeah, that's wow. I didn't know that with you.
Yeah. So it's anyone over there in the UK, if you were booing the big guy before, shame on you. Fucking marks.
All right. So what the fuck was I talking
Halloween.
About? Halloween. Okay.
Have you had many concussions, Bucking, throughout your life? I notice as these shows go on, that's a recurring theme. What was I talking about?
Yeah, but the first episode, I'm sharp as a whistle.
You were on tonight.
Second episode. Fuck.
I play off of you on when you're sharp and I'm sharp. It just makes. I told you. I go that last one. I go that's. I wish everyone could be that easy.
We're both like that was awesome. And then we look at the wine bottles. I'm like, oh fuck! I drank a bottle of wine. You're about, you know. And you got your goddamn fucking. Wait, is that my phone?
Yeah.
I think my wife is actually delivering a bottle of wine. She's on her way
She's refueling. I bought the king size bottle, the big guy bottle. Tonight, I thought you were bringing three bottles of wine over.
I when you said you got one, I was like, oh, I'll just bring one. We'll have more than enough, and then we're.
I think we've learned we've run out of alcohol every time. We
need an endless amount of shit to get through this terrible podcast. It's just
therapy sessions where we're drinking and no, we're talking about Halloween and you know, happy Halloween to everyone. This is airing on Halloween.
I know, happy Halloween while you
be safe out there, kids.
Because I think the 31st is on Monday. We release this on a Monday, so you might be going to work or you might be recovering from a Halloween party. But I was a fan of Halloween. Do you remember any costumes you wore when you grew up?
Yeah, I was telling you before. It was always fun dressing up, but I don't have like any fond memories of like cool outfits. For me, it was would put me in something to go out there and get as much candy as possible. I hustled out there.
Were you a fat kid or no?
No, always in shape.
Okay.
And like
third grader in shape.
Wait, what?
Third grade, yeah. Ripped.
By the way, third grade, I have fond memories of wearing, I shouldn't say fond memories, but in kids dress differently back when we were younger till now. But sure. I used to wear the biker shorts. Like Mondo McMichael style biker shorts.
One of my favorites.
Legit, that was a staple of my outfit to school. And I look back and I go, what the fuck were my parents thinking letting me wear that out? But I was such a stubborn little fucking kid that my parents gave up and finally let me start dressing myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I chose.
I was
working before I was ever a worker, wearing those fucking Mongo McMichael shorts to school. And I was athletic as fuck.
Chicago Bears jacket. Yeah. And the John Lennon sunglasses.
My plastic quarter machine ring out of the store.
And fucking up every spot in the book. One of my favorites is Mongo McMichael. I wish I could wrestle him. He's on my bucket list of people. But I don't think he wrestles anymore. But
he was actually, during our Louisville days, when me, Domino, Cody Rhodes, Timmy Baltimore, and there was Fearless Jack Bull. Mm-hmm. We had like our crew of guys that would hang out and watch WWE Classics on Demand when they had that channel.
Yeah.
But that was also, that was the period where weed was introduced to me. Like, okay. I was never a drug guy or anything like that. And like, oh boy, at that point, like heavy, like we would sit around and smoke shitty weed. Cause this was before any of the testing and anything. And it was like, but if you look at, we were all hanging out to watch wrestling.
Sure.
And to study film. But for me, it actually was the beginning of my downfall developmental because I would sit there and get so high on the off this weed that was because we would just keep going around and going around that I wouldn't be able to remember what I watched. And like,
really?
So I couldn't process it and digest it. I would just become full blown, like just out of it. And which, you know, Domino and them have stories of me eating chipwiches and passing out
eating chipwiches.
Because I would like no junk. I was always so good with my diet, but then I would get that stuff in me and Feed Me More was in full effect. I couldn't eat enough. And Domino actually used to, he's a weird character where he always, I always got along with him really well, but he seems to always say shitty things.
Yeah, he does. I don't know why.
I was like, dude, we were always
friends.
Yeah, like, and got along and hung out and, like, never had bad moments. Like, why would you, like, it's just weird. And, but everyone, you know, each his own. I wish him the best. And I always had a lot of fun with him. But, you know, he's a punk guy. And we talked about that. So, like,
you think that?
I'm sure.
And then, which I've heard from many people that the people he associates with are kind of whatever he thinks, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Which I've never
known. Is what it is. And, but, you know, it was, man, there's some good memories back then of just having fun and, trying to think of anything Halloween related to that, to those stories.
But I remember we had a big Halloween party in OVW once, costume party.
That's right.
With, I don't know what you went at. Did you always Dr. Jarrell?
I went as Dr. Jarrell Silver to Al Snow's.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Halloween bash.
Wow, I forgot all about this one, actually.
I only remember about this. I have a couple. Me and Cody were reminiscing last month when he was where we're at right now in Rahway. And we talked about how, because I was supposed to go with him and Ryder to their big, like, theme park guys. I was supposed to go with them to the Halloween Horror Nights thing, which were all theme park marks. And we mentioned
Wrong with that.
Apparently the Cobra Kai, or he mentioned stealing your car and driving it a block.
My Nissan Titan I had at the time. Whew. So Al Snow throws this, which looking back, if you look at like developmental
today, pretty wild and risky.
Picture Tenzai. picture Matt Bloom throwing a big Halloween party for NXT and all the talent showing up to his house. Like it wouldn't happen today.
No.
But back then it was a little more, you know, relaxed.
Which made it work too.
Yeah. But those are the moments that like, those are the cool moments that you'll never forget.
No.
Of like coming up together and you bond with guys. And so Al Snow throws his Halloween party at his house, which was very generous of him to invite people to his, especially to invite 30, 40 fucking wrestlers over to his house, whatever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that night. I remember that was like Rosa's first night.
Yeah.
And like, she was just hammered and not in a good way.
Nope.
And which would become a common theme. And I love Rosa.
I do remember her going on and on about how much she loves wrestling. And I do remember Punk going, oh, yeah? Who's the big boss man?
Like Wait, really?
Yeah, like...
I didn't know this.
Do you know who he... And she was like, I have no idea. I do remember that.
Yeah.
It's pretty awkward.
She was actually a couple times she would watch WWE Classics with us. And I'm not going to go into details.
Okay.
She was just there. And... it was always a good time. I've always gotten along with her very well and whatnot. She's, you know, a mother now as a child. And so
don't remember any costumes you wore as a kid? Anything?
I was telling you before, it was like,
dude, I remember
Garfield
every year.
And like a Bugs Garfield? Bunny.
What kind of costume is that?
Like the generic ones you buy at the store.
Store, really?
And like, because I didn't care. My sister, I felt like always just put working. I just wanted candy. Put me in whatever. I'm just going to keep walking the streets all night long. And I would take pillowcases. I would take a pillowcase and put it in another pillowcase, fill up one pillowcase, pull the other one out, and carry two bags around. Like,
so this is work for you.
Yeah.
Like,
it was,
fuck it. I don't care.
It was candy for the rest of the year for me, in which my goddamn fucking dad would always eat my Snickers, which pissed me off. He's a good guy, so I didn't mind.
Fuck. Like, dude, I remember I was Superman for like 3 years. I remember I was Batman 1 year. I remember one time my mom made me a Batman costume from scratch, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That is awesome.
And I remember I went to the court, and I went trick-or-treating, but my mom was with me because I was probably like in second grade. And I remember there was like an older kids on the corner, and they were, did you guys have bombing in Vegas? You know what that was?
I remember there was so refresh my memory on this.
So older kids, apparently they thought it was too cool to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
So they would have like shaving cream and eggs and just walk around and like, you know, do it to each other, do it to other people. And like, there was people bombing and I was...
there were always news alerts, I remember, during that period when I was younger.
So I was dressed as Batman and I'm in second grade.
No.
And I'm with my mom. So I actually think I'm fucking Batman.
Yeah.
There's people bombing and doing shaving cream on like... to the fire hydrant and stuff.
Wait, you're watching this go on?
I'm watching this go on with my mother, behind me.
Oh, my God.
And I spread my wings like Batman.
Oh, no.
To look at these people who are bombing. And the kids looked at me, and they're probably in high school or like freshman.
Oh, yeah.
And like, oh, it's Batman. We better run. And like,
and in your mind right now, do you feel like you're doing something like you are?
When I was there, I was like, oh shit, they're scared of me. I'm fucking Batman. I look like a badass. Yeah. But I realized looking back, they were just like, oh, look at this cute fucking retard with his fucking mom's bat suit. Like, oh, let's just humor him because he thinks he's cool. Dude.
So wait, they didn't do any. Did they stop?
No, they played along with it. Like, oh, we better run. So it worked. Batman. It worked. I got them off the street.
Holy corner. Shit!
I saved that fire.
I was worried that you're gonna like something bad was
like,
gonna
beat the shit.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. Like in front of your mother. Like, just what a fucking horrible memory.
They just beat the shit out of me and my mom. Like, would... No, it was. It was fine.
Kids are. I don't even want to get into like. Kids on social media today with everything.
They're all pieces of shit.
It's just horrible. It's like, and that comes from parenting too, and educating your kids and like, don't be a piece of shit.
No.
You know? But it's just, we're not going to go off on that.
I think
that,
my right? wife's here at the door with some wine. Hold on a second.
You hit the pause button?
Nope.
Hey guys, while we take a little break and get the old wine refill, what goes better with wine than food? And what better place to get your food from than BlueApron.com. Blue Apron, they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients and building a community of home chefs. What it is, you basically go to the website, you pick out what your taste preference is, and you have food on the way coming to you. Their beef, their chicken, their pork comes from responsibly raised animals. They believe in regenerative farming practices. They're used for their produce. And it says the positive impacts on cooking together with families. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. So basically what I'm trying to say is maybe if I cooked with my dad, he would love me. You got to try Blue Apron. One of my favorite meals with them is the pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables with a butter caper sauce. What I strongly recommend is signing up for less than $10 a meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, you idiot, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom, I can't say this word. What is heirloom? Heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. So what you need to do is check out this week's menu, and for your first time, look, we're giving you 3 free meals. Just help us out. Go to the website, free shipping, blueapron.com/big guy, because we need the credit. We need your love and support. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredibly home-cooked meals, incredibly good home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Please don't wait. Again, blueapron.com/big guy. 3 free meals with shipping. Okay, Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Enjoy the rest of the show.
La 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 dun 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 dun.
Oh, that was my wife with another fresh bottle of Cabernet.
I kept us busy while you were gone.
Dude, I felt really bad. She has to wake up at 5 in the morning. It's 10 o'clock now, but eh.
That's not too bad. I mean, still.
It's true love.
That is. How's the marriage going, by the way?
The ring's still on the old finger, except that...
Everything going well?
Yeah, everything's fine. I strongly recommend...
I'm looking for love at this point in my life. You can't force it. I was like, it will happen, but like I'm very selective, and like it has to be the right person. I eventually want to have kids and have a family, and like this is the time to do it. Like I'm 34.
I just want you to find... a non-stripper or a non-like...
I'm in Vegas.
Yes.
There's a lot of strippers in Las Vegas. And there's a lot of beautiful women. But obviously, in my views on marriage and whatnot, it's just... it's much more than looks when you meet somebody.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie... People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But I feel looks are very...
I bet you the looks are very good out in Vegas, like the girl,
yeah,
quality.
I can't tell you how many dates I've gone on where I regret it instantly. I could tell right away that there's nothing past the looks.
Really?
Yeah. And it's... But I'm... That's something when on the road with WWE where I was like... I was much more selective on like my day off. Like well, fuck, I got to get all this stuff done. I don't have time to go on a date. So where it was a lot harder to like meet people. But where now I have a little, like, I can, like, get stuff done and, like, plan ahead because I'm home. Mm-hmm. And where I've gone on these dates and, like, I'm putting myself out there and setting aside a couple hours here and there and just realizing, like, Jesus Christ, like, it's not easy meeting, you know, somebody that you, it, obviously, in marriage is a huge commitment and that's not something.
Yeah.
But, like, just meeting somebody that's, like, mentally... you can associate with and bounce conversation off of, and because it looks only go so far, and I've learned that the hard way.
How many dates have you been on where you're like, oh shit, like the first couple sentences you're like, ah, this isn't gonna all the time.
I can tell like as soon as I meet him, I'm just like, god damn it, big guy. And like it's, but I go, you know, I'm gonna follow through. And in it's just, you gotta put yourself out there and you gotta just keep plugging away. And, you know,
I remember one, I don't know if you remember this, the girl was not very bright and you were giving me play.
I was going to talk about this myself
where you're like, this is
from Michigan.
This is the dumbest girl.
Dumbest fucking woman I've ever, I think
it's worth talking about,
ever came across in my life.
Okay.
She was from outside the outskirts of Detroit. She came to Vegas and she messaged me.
Why was she there?
Just on vacation with her family, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Beautiful blonde girl who had a pretty good job back in whatever parts she lived in.
Okay.
And she was thinking of relocating to Vegas. And we'd only talked at that point and never noticed anything too out of the ordinary about her.
Okay.
And invited her over to the Casa de Big Guy one night. And the moment I knew before she even got there that it was a mistake, and I couldn't put the kibosh on it because she was having, she had no car. She like took a cab.
Yeah.
Which is like, it was like $90 to my place where Jesus I live, like 30 Christ. Minutes outside of the strip and everything.
Did you pay for it or she paid for it?
She paid for the ride out there.
Okay.
So she's there.
You paid double for
and
the ride
I can't
back.
Remember everything, but I instantly remember it's like she's either heavily pilled up and drunk or she's just not bright. And like there was a moment when we were outside and I have the nice backyard, and at that point they didn't have the houses behind me yet. It was just all desert, but they were starting the construction on like the streets.
Okay.
And they had the light poles up. And she goes, what are those? And I said, I go, what is what? She goes, those things. Like, what are those things out there? And I go, the light poles? She goes, yeah. And I go, fuck. So this is the level that I'm dealing with. She didn't know what light poles were, supposedly. And I don't know what planet she is from. And then it resulted in her taking off all her clothes and jumping in my pool.
Okay, but on a hotness, 1 to 10, how... Because I think when you're telling me this...
An 8?
Really? I kept thinking, like... I don't know if you watched Family Guy.
Beautiful, like, and like body, probably like 9.
I kept thinking of Jillian from Family Guy, where there's Brian, who's a very smart dog, and his girlfriend is hot as balls.
Yeah.
But she's the biggest fucking idiot in the world.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking of that. I'm like, how hot
there
is
were,
this
There
girl?
Were so many things that happened throughout the night, and I couldn't, and I didn't know. I think we were, and I was having some drinks, so like I wasn't able to like drive her back or anything. I would never do that. And so she jumps into my pool and takes her clothes off, which normally I would be thrilled about. And I just remember, like, I wanted nothing but to just have her leave, and I just wanted to go to bed. And it was, I was so upset with the entire situation. And I look, and I go, "What's that floating in my pool?" It was her tampon had come out, and it was floating in my pool. And I go, "Jesus Christ!" I go, "Get the fuck out of there." In which she then, I don't, she had to have been on some sort of drugs or something, because there's no way any person is like this. She like starts like getting overly dramatic and like falls on like my couch naked. Okay. And like, and I remember like I had like, I go, "I'm going to call you a cab back. Okay." Yeah. And like, I was like, "This is bad. I don't want her." And I found, her phone. She went to the bathroom at one point during all the night. Mm-hmm. And like, she left her phone out, and I saw she had her phone out the whole time when we like, I was doing stuff. And,
sure.
And like, she was taking pictures of my house and like, but like weird pictures of everything.
Okay.
And I was like, this isn't normal. Mm-hmm. This was, I was just like, I gotta, you know, be careful about this. And, I deleted all the pictures off her phone while she was in the bathroom. And she goes, "Have you seen my phone?" And I had it in my pocket. I go, "No, I haven't seen it." And like, I go, "I think you left it in the bathroom." She went in the bathroom and I just put it back out on the counter.
Oh my
and
God.
And I go, "Oh, here it is." She goes, "Oh, like, can't make this up."
It's fucking awesome.
But I eventually called a cab, and I had to pay the cab driver $90, in which I told, like, she, I forget what, it was like Tropicana or something.
Yeah.
And she told me that, and I told the cab driver, "She's at the Tropicana. Take her there. I don't care what she says." Mm-hmm. The Tropicana, her family's there. She needs to get back to this room. She flies out the next day. Please get her there. The cab driver calls me 3 times on the way back. She's saying to take her to like the MGM, and like,
oh my God.
"She's at the Tropicana. I told you to take it." Like, and I don't know. Hopefully
she might be dead now. You don't know.
No, she sent me a couple messages after, and okay. I like just ignored them. But it was a horrible experience, and nothing has ever been that bad. That was just the one. And but you know, you don't know unless you try, I guess.
No, but fuck. Happy Halloween. I think we're going to talk about, I don't know what else we're going to, oh, Jesus Christ.
No, we had the Bo and Duke Bash.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we,
that was the entire point of the Halloween episode.
We were trying to segue, but do we say that we had requests for this show to talk about certain things or no?
On what now?
I mean, the bash.
Oh yeah, well, no, we, with oh, Trent. Trent is big on the GHB story.
That's separate from that.
Yes, that's entirely separately. I'm saving that one. Where are we at with the show? Because the
26 minutes, we have plenty of time.
We have plenty of time. I'm going to get to a couple questions here first before we go into the Bo and Duke Bash, because that's an entire...
Yeah, it was a good time.
With Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas in developmental...
I don't remember Bo... Yeah, obviously he was there. I don't remember the...
The Bo and... He was Bo.
Yeah,
Bo and Duke Bash was the name of the Halloween party.
Okay.
But let's get to a couple questions here from, because that is something I have, that we have the email for. "Hello, Ryback. My name is Peter, and trying to put weight on and build up my muscles, am eating the correct food and weight training every day, but in getting the muscles, but not keeping the weight. Any ideas?" Don't be overly concerned with weight. It's really hard sometimes not to step on the scale. Space it out though. Wait every week or two to do your weighing, if not cutting it all together. I always say going by the mirror, excuse me, is the best way to tell your physique and the improvements that you're making. The scale can't always give you an accurate idea. If you're trying to gain weight and say the numbers are going up every week, but you're putting on a lot of body fat, yeah, the scale is going to be going up, but you visually might be looking a lot worse. So, you know, obviously if you're trying to get bigger, you want those gains to be as lean as possible, which can be done. You're never going to be as lean as if you're cutting, but you need to keep quality calories in there. And you hear people all the time talk about like when they bulk and they eat fast food, and everybody, unless you are an ectomorph where your metabolism is super, like just beyond fast, where you have to eat all these calories, most people kind of fall in between somewhere. You want to try to keep your calories as clean as possible and just eat as much food as possible, but a weight gainer will do you a lot of good. And I'm developing right now the weight gainer for Feed Me More Nutrition, and hopefully that will be out in the beginning of the year. It's not going to be out with the first three items, but you need something with complex carbohydrates, very little to no fats, and high proteins. And I think adding that to your diet, two or three shakes a day, or even one for that matter, will help you tremendously. So I wish you the best with that.
Good luck, bro.
Ryback, first off, love what you're doing, and huge fan of yours. My question is, what has been the biggest challenge of yours while working with WWE? And since you have left, thank you for your considering my question. Sincerely, Greg Thorpe II, hashtag feed me more. Thank you for your question, Greg. What would you say, Pat, has been my...
I wasn't listening to that.
This is like the Voxes where you don't listen to the... You have this on 3X right now as we're talking. The question was, what has been your biggest challenge of yours while working with WWE and since you have left?
Since you left?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, has there been many challenges?
It's been,
really.
It's been phenomenal.
Kind of a breeze.
It's,
fighting Bellator for more money?
Thanks for throwing that out there. So for me, and this is actually, it's a great question. The biggest challenge while there was working there, giving them everything I had, knowing that I wasn't getting the same in return. And it was hard living that life day in and day out, knowing I was working for somebody that knew what they had and but just chose not to use it till its full capacity. And internally, that was a struggle with myself. And I became very, very unhappy because I had this contract and I wanted to fulfill it as long as I possibly could. But eventually it got to a point where I had to leave and to get out at a certain point. And that was an easy decision the day that came in St. Louis. The biggest challenge since leaving there is actually having to reel myself in and focus. I've got my hands in so many different things.
Yeah.
And I've told you this.
You got a lot of plates spinning.
I've been so excited to do so many things for so long that I'm now have the opportunity to do. And I feel like I gotta pace myself on how much I'm doing because I've become involved in a lot of things. And so for me,
with a full-time wrestling schedule.
Pretty much. On the weekend, and which requires daily, you know, weight training and conditioning to stay in shape to be, because I'm not wrestling five nights a week now or four nights a week. So I got to make sure I'm doing the boxing and now I'm adding in the Muay Thai and the jiu-jitsu to stay in top shape. That's my wrestling training, essentially.
Doing media and then a travel day.
And I tell you, and we're doing media stuff and like, I love, and that's why I told you, and we talked about, there's not a lot of guys, I guess, that do media stuff.
No, I mean, from my experience, I've been promoting for almost 5 years now, and to get people on radio shows or just do local promotion, it doesn't happen.
And I asked you, every show that I'm on, I want to do radio promotion at least for these shows. Like, I don't care when it is, and because I understand from working with WWE, that is how they do their business, and you do phoners and you do these local radio things, and they have local radio advertisements, which we don't have.
Sure.
So I could put my social media stuff up. That's good, but it doesn't do a lot.
But look what happened today when you went to my gym. The guy at the front desk, what did he say to you? Oh, I heard you yesterday
The Busted Open Radio podcast on Sirius. And he goes, he listened to it and he really liked it. And that was, thank you for getting me that because it helps. Any little thing we could do to promote and to make, because if people don't know, they can't come.
Yeah.
And it's repetitions. And
outside of WWE, it's incredibly, incredibly tough to be a promoter. It's so fucking hard without that TV exposure, that built-in brand name. I mean, TNA has national exposure when they would run in this area. I would outdraw them, which is crazy to say that, but it goes to, doing these radio gigs, doing these local promotion, if you can get 5-10 more people there.
That's part of the job, though. And I told you, when I go to these shows, and I don't care if it's a small building or not, I want it to be filled as much as possible.
Yeah.
Everybody, because that's just doing good business. And if I could wrestle in front of 500 people rather than 200 people, I want to wrestle in front of 500 people.
Which is this weekend.
And everybody there would rather wrestle in front of 500 people. So if I can help promote the cause and raise awareness to the event, then I will, because I've been used to doing that for so long.
Yeah.
And it's just, you've done a great job at getting these in wherever we're at for that local thing. And we've had good turnouts at everything so far. So, and you're not always, not to say it's always going to work, but it's, you know, whatever town that we're in, I have no problem doing, you know, local promotion and just raising awareness.
Sure.
Want to do one more question here?
Let's do one more.
We've had some good questions here from...
Yeah, so far. I want a shitty one. I really I want a bad one.
Ah, this is a good one. I like... This is from Mooch Mooch. I met her... Picture of me and her from my first appearance where my face is a little thinner.
Doesn't look too bad.
Very pretty girl. I'm really shy, so this is very hard for me, and I'm nervous as hell to send you a message. But here we go, LOL. I just wanted to say I've been a fan of yours for a while, and I've had the pleasure of meeting you at the Rumble in Rockland. I almost didn't meet you because of how shy I am, but I'm really glad I did. I really just wanted to say thanks. You are so nice. I was actually shocked because I've met a lot of wrestlers that are just downright rude. So I never know what to expect. So thanks. Mooch Mooch, thank you. I think if anything, you've learned a very valuable lesson that you just got to go for it sometimes in life and just commit.
What's the fucking question?
There was no question on that. She just wanted to write to me.
Okay.
She was just, this is just a loyal fan. And she sent me a very nice picture of the two of us that I will post this week on social media of the podcast. And it was a pleasure meeting you. And I'm sorry if you've had bad experiences with anybody, but I always try to tell people,
Yeah, let me test this out real quick. Okay, no. I thought it wasn't record. Sometimes the levels in the old machine, like, don't go up and
down. I feel like you've had too much to drink, Buck.
No.
I need you for at least two more episodes tonight.
No, I was talking. Okay, it's reading it. I was like, oh, fuck, my microphone's not turned on. That happened before in the past.
Are you doing drugs? Are we good?
I'm all right. I'm all alive. Right. Mooch Mooch.
Mooch Mooch.
What's up, baby?
You completely threw me off. No, but she was saying with some of the wrestlers being rude. Most wrestlers are all great people. And you
most
have to,
of them are, yeah.
You have to remember, especially when you're working for WWE and you're constantly on the go, and everywhere you go, people usually stop you for the most part. And like,
sure.
And you're on a limited time schedule sometimes, and guys are asked a lot up there. And when you're running, you know, you're running on red. Up there, you're running on empty a lot of days, and you're redlining, and it's you're going to catch guys sometimes when they just want to just get back to their rooms and go to bed,
yeah.
And like, and so, and not to say that that's ever an excuse to ever treat anyone badly, and I don't think anyone ever would ever go out of their way to like be bad, but sometimes even I've seen fans when I'm dead tired and just I say no thank you,
sure,
to eBay people at airports, and then they reply back with fuck you and Goldberg and like just all the shitty, and like, and you say no thank you and you just don't say anything, you know.
I've heard legendary stories about Lex Luger during the, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Lex Luger.
Lex.
But just during,
write his book too,
just during the All American era, not just that
the
shitty,
Lex Express deal.
Oh yes,
really?
I've heard of things of him and like getting trapped in elevators and fans asking like, "Lex, can I get an autograph?" And him just like looking up and like, just like so annoyed and angry.
Where'd you hear this from?
I've heard this from people before, and I'm so fascinated with Lex Luger being so angry at the world and shitty to fans during that period. It's one of my favorites.
Because like he
favorite.
Was like that John Cena babyface character at that point, which is like...
But not nearly as over at all.
In my mind.
In your mind.
I loved him as a kid during that. I thought that was like... Do you remember when Backlund got him in the crossface chicken wing when Backlund was getting hot again?
I don't know if he was getting hot again, but...
I think they were building him up for Bret Hart again, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, there's no way... No way. I was destroyed because I think he was one of the guys to use to get Backlund over to go to Brett. Like,
yeah.
And it was just like, ah. But I of course, Ryback loved fucking Lex Luger.
Of course.
Every kid loved Lex Luger.
Maybe. I never hated
period,
Lex
how could you
Luger.
Not?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've heard different stories on, you know, from a worker standpoint and whatnot, but I don't know. It's...
So we got more questions. This was the Halloween episode.
I think we should transition now into the Bo and Duke Bash.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. We're like, oh, fuck. Remember that Halloween party? And because I remember at...
Bo and Duke. But Duke is Bray Wyatt, by the way.
Sure.
Who, at that point, though, remember he did the tag team with Vic? I don't know. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I kind of...
He was like...
Black dude, right?
Yeah. Yes. He was like the Bobby, like a smaller Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
Who was always very nice, but they did like a detective gimmick.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a FCW TV, and it was before Bo and Duke became a tag team.
Okay.
It was, I forget the name of the, it was with Bray though and this guy, and it was bad. And Bray was awesome. He just kind of came in there and like, you could just tell this guy was going to be a star. Like,
okay.
Just his promos, and it was just something. Him and Bo both, like, you could just see, like, you could tell they came from...
As Duke, as that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even just cutting promos as that, they were light years ahead of an outside guy that you brought in there.
Sure.
And once they figured out and learned the ropes, and, like, they picked it up so quickly, and they were both always very agile, and Bray's a big guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he can move like a cat out there. And,
yeah.
But they threw their... They had a house they were renting out. And like most of us lived in apartments and everything. And
that's right.
They had a nice little house.
West Gandy.
Yeah. And was it West Chase?
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't remember the name either. But
it was Camden something.
Oh, Camden Bayside.
Camden Bayside.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I forgot all about Hogan grew up across the street, by the way, over there.
Okay.
That was his childhood house. I drove by it a couple times.
Really?
It was literally right across the street.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
That he grew up in. It's crazy. What a small world, right?
I just remember living there and then like the nicer complex, I think where like Otunga lived. It was like super like rich. It was like off the street. We're like,
that beautiful view, like on the by the water, and we were like just down the road.
We were like next to like drug addicts.
We had a little
Heath
fucking,
Slater lived above us. Like
we had a little pond. Heath Slater and Brett DiBiase, who I always found little fucking BBs downstairs because they would shoot their fucking BB guns.
Really?
Yeah. Who knows? I'll never forget I saw Heath. I love Heath.
I remember, again.
What were you going to say?
I remember one day at our apartment, I was so hungover. It was, and I opened the door to throw the trash out, and Demolition Smash is just standing there smoking a cigarette. And I'm like,
Dakota Darso, his son, lived with Heath
with
for
Heath.
A while. Yeah.
So I was like early in the morning, it was probably like 8 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, the trash was like smelling bad. I'm like, let me throw this out. I open it up and I'm pretty sure he was shirtless.
Yeah.
Just smoke.
Makes sense.
And I'm like, it's fucking Smash. Shirtless smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? And like, we talked for a couple minutes and that was it. But
it's funny looking back at like the memories you have of like, it's crazy. And
like my first, just because it relates to this, my first memory of anything developmental moving to Louisville was doing my laundry with Gangrel.
That was really?
Because I lived in the suburban in a hotel for
I stayed there before
Suburban Lodge.
Yeah, they
really?
I went to OVW for a couple weeks before Deep South was open. They put me there.
Wow.
And I remember like it was after Tough Enough, and I trained with like Lance Storm for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You might have been there.
Maybe.
Because
2005
Lance,
or no?
I always remember Bill always told me, D'Amato always told me that Lance buried me in his reports, and which is, actually makes sense because he is, I've met him in person a few times, and he's always been nice at the shows, but he's gone on like social media, and he's like, we'll always take shots, I've noticed, like during things. There was something actually.
That sounds like Lance.
But there, and I never understood, I remember one particular thing where I don't know if I muted him or blocked him, just because I was like, I don't need to be seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something, a spot with me and Sheamus where it was Sheamus's idea too, and to drop him like a face bump on the table, like we're completely safe. And it was like a press thing. And like, and I remember he like, just said something really negative about me, like not taking care of my opponent on that. And I'm like, we did exactly what we talked about and walked through before on that. And he was 100% fine. And I was just like, but people, a guy like that has a little bit of a following. So when he says
he's
something
also
negative,
a very intelligent man, and like,
yeah.
And I would think like, that he would know. I mean, I've used Lance. I've talked. I'm friends with Lance.
He's always been nice when I met him in person, but like on social media, it's a different thing. I'm like,
the opinions.
Jesus Christ. Like, why? You don't know. You're not there. Don't fucking open your mouth about something you don't know about.
Sure.
I would never, like, God damn it. So I was like, I'm done. I don't need to hear anything else he has to say. So
totally understandable.
But this Bowen Duke bash.
Okay.
So,
the whole rule to it.
This is funny, actually.
We're talking about how I'm like, fuck, we haven't been.
You threw me under the bus the other night with the Cena comment on this.
I didn't throw it. Well, yeah.
I threw myself under the bus with this, but fuck.
There was a Halloween party in developmental, and the whole rule was you got to come as a
worker. To go Bray and Bo.
It's a great rule.
They're big on having a good time, and they knew that if you're going to come to this, you need to be dressed up. And I told you, I'm not big on dressing. Like, so this all ties into like my childhood. Like, I just want to go have a good time, and I don't give a shit about dressing up.
But at the same time, you're a loner, and like, while we would go out a lot of times you would do your own thing.
Yeah.
Or you'd stay home, you had something else going on.
Yeah.
I remember, and I would always kind of hang out in that like Curt Hawkins, Tyson Kidd kind of group.
Yeah.
Except one night when Hawkins opened the door and caught you eating a girl's box.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't believe you brought that on the air. Tracy from Tampa. Oh, wow. So that happened. I guess we're going to go into that spinoff.
I just remember like a lot of times.
By the way, I lock my door all the time. And on that, you were living with me, right?
Yeah.
And but for whatever reason, this beautiful, beautiful woman in Tampa, whom I had back at my apartment, we were partaking in some activities on the living room couch.
Okay.
And I just hear, hey, Skippy, you want some Jimmy John's? Because I was doing the Skip Sheffield gimmick right then. And he opens the door and we just made eye contact as I'm
performing
services.
Yes.
Big guy activities.
Yes.
And I go, no, thank you. And he just, okay, shuts the door. And then I went back. Wow. That happened. I can't.
So I didn't know if it was. It wasn't that night then. Because there were a lot of times you didn't come out with us, and like
she's so married now. I think.
Oh, really?
I
remember. So I went as Honky Tonk Man. I had my jumpsuit. I had my cool cocky bad outfit on to be Honky Tonk Man. Everyone went as their own persona.
I never got into like, and I was at that point, like I never, as I got older, like dressing up or anything like that. And to this day, I haven't gone to like a Halloween party or like.
It's funny you say that.
And why do you say that?
Because today I'm going to a Halloween party and I ordered me and my wife's Halloween costume.
Really?
I swear to God.
I love it. I think it's great. I'm at a point now where I want like, and by the way, I just looked at my travel this year. I get in Halloween night at like.
In England.
I'm flying home that night.
Oh.
I get in Halloween night. Like I won't get home until 9 something that night. So
enough time.
But I could also I'll be over there. So possibly
shit going on.
Yeah. Do they celebrate Halloween over there? I don't know.
Yeah, of course they should. I think.
I'm more open to the idea. But like I just assumed I could just go to the Bowen Duke Bash as my like just like the OVW thing. I didn't want to go get a costume and everyone said, oh, you got to get a costume. So I went as Dr. Jarrell Silvers because that was the only thing I felt like that was my alter ego.
Sure.
It wasn't my wrestling character. So, but it was a character I was trying to do on TV. And, but that was the whole mindset behind it. I was like, I don't want to fucking dress up. And Bo and Duke were so adamant about, no, you got to dress up. You can't come over. And which I probably could have, but
what
I would have been.
They? I don't remember.
I don't know. There's pictures of all of us online on all this. Like, we'll post that photo up this week.
I remember Sheamus was like Moondog.
Yeah.
I remember like EC3 was like.
You talked about Big E also won major points that night.
EC3 was China and his wife was X-Pac.
Did I ever tell you? That's great.
That was a good one.
The Tough Enough, when I got cut the episode, we went shopping at a erotic boutique store that day before the show. Because they told us we had to get like outfits to dress up as like different characters for whatever. And so this never made it, luckily, and God bless her soul. And I bought an outfit to be Rhina. throw off of China. And I, this is insane.
Bailey J?
No, no, no. Jesus Christ. no, but like it was, we all had to dress up as women was what it was. It was to embarrass us.
I think so, I remember seeing Miz doing some of this, right?
So I, and all of them did, Pewter and all the guys, but I got cut earlier the week before. Like, so I got out of it and I didn't have to do it, but I had an outfit to be Rhina because I thought that would at least be kind of clever way of dressing and kind of
sure,
you know, without saying too much and,
living the dream.
Yeah. But, so what was I saying? I'm pulling you now. I don't remember where I was going with that.
Halloween, your Rhina.
Oh, I was just telling the thing. But we were leading into the Big E, one major point.
I do remember, like, I feel like Big E was new and developmental. And, like, to a lot of guys, or at least to me at least, I'm like, oh, it's
Big E was new with Thaddeus, Etor, and Richard.
Yes.
Wasn't there, Luke Gallows created a song.
Do you remember?
Because Thaddeus, Etor, and Richard were the three new guys that got down there like around the same time.
Okay.
So Gallows was down there working on the new, he was like that face gimmick. He, this is when he was off the road as Jesse and Festus, I believe. Okay. And he was going to kind of come up with the creepy, like he had that, he had like this expensive ass mask.
Yeah.
Made.
Okay.
I was with him for that. And he was like trying out some things down there to get to get repackaged.
And it's before Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and he's such a character, and we've he's just
holy fuck! I just remembered a side story of you guys fucking fist fighting in a little.
Oh my god! Yeah.
That's a different one.
We'll tie into that. But he created the Thaddeus, Etor, and Richard. It was like a theme song with words of like these three new guys that came into developmental. But like Big E,
like you assumed bodybuilder type.
Yeah,
like,
we had Big Guy Heat right away.
Big Guy Heat. Yeah. I remember one time sitting
down. I make that up, and I joke about that, but like we didn't have Heat, but it's just, you have to have Big Guy Heat.
I remember like looking at him like, holy, I've never seen someone eat a chicken breast in two bites.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? But then
he showed a monster.
He showed up to the party as Kamala, and I felt like his brother credentials just went up through the roof. Like it was like, okay, this guy is awesome.
No,
like,
he is a fan of the product.
One of my favorite wrestlers.
He's one of the best people you will ever meet too. And like, I always told him, I've sent a few messages out because I talked about this. I was like sending messages to some of the guys and would like to send it to everybody I worked with, but don't want to, you know, overdo it. But like, yeah, he was one of the ones I sent it to, like, just thank you. He was always, working with him very easy. Like he would do whatever was best for the match. And it was always, I always felt I reciprocated that with him. And when he had the IC title, I worked him a bit on like live events and would just want to do things to make him look good. And like, and he was always the same when the roles were reversed, and he gets it. And like, just, that's why I'm all three of those guys, Woods, Kofi, and Big E,
all three.
I'm so happy for that. They've been able to turn that into what they have.
It's money.
It couldn't happen to three better guys. So
they
deserve every bit of that. And I don't care how ridiculous it gets. It is entertainment. And they all know how to work, and then they are great guys, and so happy for them on all that.
But someone showed up to this party dressed as a character. I remember,
what are we at time-wise?
We're 51 minutes in.
We're going to keep going.
But
that's been the theme. More. They want more, right?
We're all in our costumes, different, like, you know, different workers, and you come walking in dressed as John fucking Cena.
So
it's a massive boost.
To this day, which should fucking tell you something, to massive boost from your fucking colleagues, right? So all I had, and I don't know how I got it, I think because, like, Kern gave out some shirts from at FCW, and one of them, like, he gave me, like, three, like, 2X shirts or something.
All right.
And one of them, like, they were like Cena shirts or something.
Where'd you get the title? You had the title, though.
So, I had to go. It was one of the fake foam ones.
Yes.
I wasn't allowed to come to the party, I was told, by Bo and Duke, unless I went and got a Halloween costume, and which I just wanted to get just insanely drunk and have a good time.
I don't think you did, but yeah.
Well, we will talk about that. So they go, I go, I don't have a costume. They go, well, fucking go get one. And like, guys were going as wrestlers. Like, everyone went as wrestlers pretty much, right?
Yeah. We put a lot of time into this. Yeah.
Like, I put no thought into this. And like, I just didn't, I I told you, my mission as a kid, just get candy. I don't care. I used to wear rollerblades to go faster to door to door. That's another, no matter what, I was a serial killer one year with a fucking gimmick mask and blood, and I wore rollerblades with it so I could beat the other kids and just fucking, like, my mindset is always whatever I want, go get it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, but I was shut down. I couldn't just come to this party and just get drunk for free. I had to come as a wrestler. So, and I didn't know John at the time. Had I known John at the time, I would have fucking, you know, found another way or just not gone to the goddamn fucking party. And I had this shirt and I go, I could be John Cena. I got the shirt. I went to Walmart in St. Pete or down the road and wherever it was in Tampa. And I got the champ. He was the champ at the time.
Yep, fucking, of course he is.
Champ. And fucking,
why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. Got the fucking little gimmick fucking spinner fake title. And they had like an armband kit or something at Walmart and got the fucking gimmicks. And in the ball cap, a black ball cap, just a plain, because that's what they had. They had nothing with that. So, and I remember I showed up and just to a chorus of boos. A
lot of boos.
And I was
like, me and Brian were booing the most out of everybody.
And I just wanted to come fucking get drunk. I thought I would go unnoticed and like, oh, you know, Skippy's here or whatever. And fuck no. So everyone is drinking heavily this night. There's alcohol being served left and right. Guys are over there playing poker. Guys are out back. There's chaos going on everywhere. And it was a great time. I am just drinking tons of Monsters and the Diet Monsters and Jack and whatever else they got. We're doing shots.
It was flowing.
I am convinced to this day somebody gave me mushrooms.
What?
Yeah. Because
to eat?
Yeah, and I don't know, or some sort of other drug.
Okay.
Because I can handle my liquor well, and I've been extremely drunk many times before. What happened the rest of that night is so outside of how I normally am.
Okay.
I can't explain. It wasn't just alcohol because I've been way drunker than that before.
Sure.
So at one point I somehow have a monster glass of, like, I don't even know how I'd found, like, in their cupboard, like one of the gimmick fucking huge cups. And for my Louisville days of the 64-ounce cups to drive to OVW. And Bo is telling me, he's like, they're so nice. Like, the patience of those two men were beyond anything. What they probably should have punched me halfway into the night multiple times. And come on, Skippy, be careful. And like, I'm like running into the walls, and like, Bo's like, come on. He's like, you're gonna make a mess. Come on, Skippy. He's like being like
gentle. Yeah.
Bo Dallas on TV with that voice, but like, come on, like trying to just help his friend. And like, I stumble into his rack of DVDs and knock everything over, which was like the first fuck up of the night. Like, and you could tell he's mad, but takes a deep breath and like, deserve to be punched again right there.
Yeah.
And luckily it did not touch me. Bo, and I tell him to this day, I go, you're gonna have pent up aggression here at one point
because your DVDs.
Yeah. No, not the, that was the least of my worries that night. So then we somehow make ourselves our way outside, in which they took their recliner they had inside and put it outside.
Okay.
Or they had it like on the patio because they didn't want anything to happen to it. Like, I was doing dipping at that point, and like the dip, I'm like sick. But before the dip, they were like, there was a bottle of Jack going around, and I go, give me that Jack. And Bo takes, he goes, no more, no more. Mm-hmm. I go, don't you tell me what to do. And I grab the fucking Jack and I just chug it. And Bo goes, oh, Skippy, like, not a good idea.
It's like Chris Farley shit. Yeah.
Give me a dip. Like, I'm
belligerent.
I should have been fucking escorted out of the house about an hour before this. Like, fucking get the fuck out of here, John.
Yeah.
In which, after the dip, I was just so drunk, I just start puking like fucking just a madman, like the Exorcist outside.
I remember this.
I puke all over the recliner they put outside to cover, like, from getting messed up inside. I find it outside and destroy their fucking recliner with puke. Just, you got to imagine, like, drinking all night long.
No.
Like, just,
it's a smelly puke.
Yeah. So now they're not happy. But again, Bo and Duke
are sweet
just,
boys.
Just they were raised beyond well. Anybody else at that point would have fucking been punching me and just like I would have been on the street bloodied, fucking drunk. Like I was beyond out of control, which I'm telling you, mushrooms were involved at some point of this night.
Okay.
Before that, I skipped a key point. Bray with his lovely wife, who is we all, everyone, just such a good person.
Beautiful.
This is before they had it. This is before they had their kids. I remember Dylan Klein had his kid. There's a story with that too.
I remember being at a restaurant and him going like, "Oh shit!" Like,
that's another story.
Yeah.
But I somehow made my way into Bray's bedroom at this point. At what before this?
Okay.
In which nobody knew where I went. They had their doors shut. Okay. I like walking through their house. I go into Bray's bedroom and lie on his bed because I wanted to lie on his bed.
Why not? Yeah.
And I remember I turned on the TV and like Bray and I shut their door and I'm watching TV in their bedroom on the bed beyond drunk. And they walk in and I'm giggling, laughing to myself on the bed. And like Bray, and it just starts cracking up laughing. And I remember there was some point I confessed my love to his wife.
God.
So if you
really
think of all the red flags for this night, but like they know, but it was so, and I just go, Bray, me and your wife, we're in love. We love each other. Like, you know, the obnoxious, just.
You have to laugh at it.
You have to.
Yeah.
And to this day, we every time we ever talk about it, we just laugh hysterically. And I don't know. I still, to this day, anytime I've ever been drunk, I've never done anything of this nature. But for whatever reason, this night,
something
as John Cena, my fucking mind was very weird.
Ego. Yeah,
go figure. And they got me out of there, and like he was laughing hysterically, and it was funny. I wasn't doing anything inappropriate as far
No.
Making advances or anything like that. But like I was telling him I loved his wife.
Yes, why not?
I was happy kicking my feet like a little child in his bedroom. So anyways, this night the puke thing happens. Finally, guys, like they're ready to shut the party down.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are leaving. I'm still fucking trying to drink. Like,
yeah, of course.
At this, I want more. Feed me more
right
fucking
back
alcohol.
The tank. Yeah.
So we're outside. Bo is on the phone sitting in his car. I somehow get a beer out of all this. And he's like trying to have a private conversation, I think with maybe his girlfriend at the time or somebody. And I like open the go, "What are you doing, Bo?"
And like, he's probably 19 at the time.
He's very young at this time. And which I commend his patience to this day, I tell him, because I was out of line multiple times this night. Like, but we'd had enough experiences where they knew I wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
Most other guys would have probably had enough at this point.
Sure.
But Bo and Duke, no.
Fine.
So I open the, "What are you doing? Who are you talking to, Bo, huh? How tell me who you're talking to?" Like, talking down to him like a drunk fucking asshole. We're all right. We're going over for this episode, but it's well worth it. Bo. So Bo's like, "I'm trying to talk, Skippy." And he like shuts the door. "You don't shut the door on me." And like just being obnoxious. And there's something happened where I think my beer spilled all over Bo.
Oh,
and like
my God.
While he's in his car. And Bo finally got
Bo
hot.
Bo beats the shit out of you.
Yeah. Bo finally gets hot. And like I could barely stand at this point. I'm wobbling and like falling into things. And he stops. He took another deep breath. And he goes, "You just need to go home, Skippy. Just go home and sleep." And I remember, I don't know, to this day, I think Croft took me home.
Maybe.
I woke
definitely
up.
Definitely wasn't me.
I woke up naked on my air mattress with the spinner belt to this day.
You had an air mattress?
Yeah, that was when we first got down there.
No, I was with you. I lived with you.
I had an air mattress for quite a while, yeah.
Okay.
Before I ever got a bed. And I remember waking up on the air mattress naked with the spinner title and going, "What the fuck happened?"
Oh, my
and
God.
I've never felt worse in my life. And I think I got a hold of them and I saw them at practice and I went over to their house and cleaned their couch.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt so horrible. Because their recliner was sitting out there with puke covered all over it. And I went over and got I don't know if they had cleaning stuff or if I brought it, but I remember they had a huge dog and I was terrified of it. The dog was like barking in the windows and like you heard it banging against the door. But we laugh hysterically to this day, but it was a hilarious moment looking back. And but, and I always told Bo, I go, there's subconsciously, you're going to get drunk one of these days and want to fight me.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'm going to be sober and like, I'm going to have to like fucking, you know, but it's never happened. He's so.
That's funny.
That's a testament to those guys. Yeah, they are great human beings.
They're good dudes. I like them a lot. Well, we went way over. This is the longest episode we've ever done, 1 hour 2 minutes in. So thank you, guys. I'm Buck Never Stops on Twitter. Leave a review for this Conversation with the Big Guy podcast.
Check out feedmemore.com. You've just listened to the Conversation with the Big Guy.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace. Now through Monday only, buy 2 gallons of our top paint brands, Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Royal, and get the 3rd gallon free. And with the Ace Extra Mile Promise, if it ever takes more than one trip to complete your paint project, we'll bring you what you need and deliveries free. Don't miss the buy 2 get 1 free paint sale only at Ace. Limit 2 free gallons of equal or lesser value. Prices may vary. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for more details.